Good to see you this morning. I'm thankful that you're here. It's encouraging that you make plans to be here, prepare to be here, to worship God. It's such an important part of our time here on this earth. When people became Christians in the New Testament, they immediately began to serve. And that's what you sign up for, to be servants of God when you become a child of God. You are to serve each other. It's important. And someone has made this statement about our service, that not all of us can do great things, but all of us can do small things with great love. And I think that that is very true. This morning I want us to focus on the fact that we are to be humble servants of God. We are to serve Him with humility and wholeheartedness. True servants and stewards are to do every task with dedication and diligence, giving it 100%. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul writes, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man." We are serving God. That's how important it is. And whatever we do as a servant of God needs to be done wholeheartedly. Great opportunities can disguise themselves in small tasks. The magnitude of the task is not all that's relevant. The main issue is, does it need to be done? Does someone need our help? And I don't believe any of us will ever arrive at a place where we are too important to help with menial tasks. God will never exempt us from the mundane of serving others. You know, now is a time a lot of people are looking for exemptions. They're doing their taxes and they're, am I exempt here on this? Can I get a credit here? When it comes to serving God, don't look for exemptions. Look for opportunities to serve others. God will not exempt us from that. It's a vital part of our character building process. Sometimes we serve upward to those that are in positions of authority, and sometimes we serve downward to those in need. Either way, it is a development process for us. We grow into that, and we are to develop a servant's heart and be willing to do whatever needs to be done in service to the Lord. And it requires that we know our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we know people outside of these doors, and we try to help them and to lead them to Christ and to strengthen them and to comfort them. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6 in verse 3, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." It is not about us. It's about the Lord. It's about bringing glory to Him. And we need to have the right attitude in that, and that is to be humble. In the verse right before Galatians 6 and verse 3, in Galatians 6 and verse 2, Paul wrote, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." We have that responsibility. We need to open our eyes to the needs of others. You remember when Jesus was asked by the lawyer in an attempt to trick Jesus to say something that he could twist against Jesus. What is the greatest commandment of all? Well, in one of those occasions, we see that in Luke chapter 10, that Jesus went on to show how we treat our neighbors. And he gave the great commandment in Matthew chapter 22, and he said it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that's from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. But he didn't stop there, because there was one that was so closely linked to loving God with every fiber of our being, and that is loving our neighbor as ourself. And James, it refers to that as the royal law. because it's important to the King of the Kingdom that we take care of the needs, we show love to our neighbor, and that includes everyone that we come in contact with. If we think we're too important to help someone in need, we are just deceiving ourselves. That's foolish thinking. We need to be humble. And it's in these small acts of service that we grow to be more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus really specialized in serving others while he was here. He did things that other people tried to avoid. This is the Son of God who came down from heaven. But we see that Jesus was willing to wash the feet of his disciples in John chapter 13. What a lesson on humility. Getting down on his knees and washing his disciples' feet. Jesus was willing to serve. And we read oftentimes in his ministry that the children would come unto him, and many people in the crowd were like, get those children away from him. And he would object to that and say, no, bring them to me. He gave attention to them and used them as examples in his teaching. That in many ways we need to have characteristics like a child, and one of those that really stands out in children is humility. We need to become like children in humility. We need to humble ourselves like little children. But Jesus gave attention to them and used them as teaching examples. And lepers that so many people spent so much time avoiding, Jesus was helping them. And he cleansed 10 of those. Only one came back to thank him. But he took the time to help them. He was concerned about them. They had colonies where they just lived among themselves away from the public. And if they were approaching, they were supposed to yell out, unclean, unclean, unclean. Jesus cleansed them. Jesus did things that others tried to avoid. Nothing really in way of service was beneath Jesus because he came to serve, we see, in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. It wasn't in spite of his greatness that he did these things, but it was because of his greatness. And he expects us to follow his example. And if we're not careful, the service that we render to the Lord can go to our head. We can become conceited about it, arrogant. And we begin to think that we're special. We're better than other Christians. We deserve to be placed on a pedestal. We deserve some kind of special recognition. And I believe that happened to James and John, two men that were very close to Jesus in his public ministry. Witnesses of his humility. But yet they wanted to be at his right hand in his kingdom. And they even got their mother to go to bat for them to try to jockey for position. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. And in 28 of Matthew 20, it says that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. If Jesus came to serve, why would we think that we're here for any other reason but to serve others? We need to serve. This account in Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28, where James and John and their mother was involved in this, asking for position of authority, recognition in the kingdom when it came, comes right after the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. The laborers in the vineyard, you remember, that those that came to work at the earliest hour of the work day, and they worked through the whole day, the whole work day they worked. And people came to work later in the day. Some came at the 11th hour, where they just have 1 hour left to work. And when the master began to pay the workers in the vineyard, the laborers in the vineyard, he started with the ones that came last. And you could just feel the tension building. And he gave them a denarii. And then he went to those that came, had come late, a little earlier, but still later than the early workers. And he goes all the way down to those who began working at the first part of the day, had been there all 12 hours of the workday. And they're thinking to themselves, we deserve more than them. I can't wait to see what I'm going to get. If they got a denarii, I should get several of those, right? No, that kind of thinking is wrong. And that's what Jesus teaches in that parable. We need to consider ourselves blessed to get what God has given us and not ask for more than others, but have the right mindset of our humility. I think we see this attitude again in Luke chapter 15, verses 29 and 30. You remember the older brother of the prodigal son? The older brother of this parable? It says in Luke 15, verses 29 and 30, "So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you.'" I've been serving you. All these years, all this time, "I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." What a poor attitude. And I believe in that parable that Jesus is teaching the Pharisees that that's the attitude that they have. They feel they deserve more than the sinners who you see in the opening part of Luke chapter 15 that Jesus is eating with. And in Luke chapter 17, verse 10, "So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" We need to have the attitude of humility and not the attitude that we deserve more. You think about James and John in comparison to Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. You think about the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verses 29 and 30. "I've been serving you all these years. I deserve the fatted calf to be killed for me." And in Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, we need to understand that we're just doing what God has told us to do. And that really we are just unprofitable servants. Stay humble in serving God. Humility, it has been said, is something that we should pray for constantly. In our prayer life, pray to God for humility, but never thank God that we have it. Some people, I think, are proud of their humility. And that for sure is an oxymoron. Don't be proud of your humility, but grow in humility. One time there was a professor of physics from Johns Hopkins University. And to say the least, he was a scholar. His name was Henry A. Rowland. And he was such a recognized scholar in a certain area, physics, that he was called to be an expert witness on a trial. And anybody that knew him knew that he was a humble man. You know, he didn't have that "I love me" wall with all his degrees hanging on it. He was humble, and people appreciated that about him. But he was asked by one of the attorneys in this trial, "What exactly qualifies you to be an expert witness?" And this normally modest professor replied quietly, "I am the greatest living expert on the subject under discussion." Later, his friend said, "That is so unlike you to make a statement like that. You're always so humble. We appreciate that. You said you're the greatest living expert on this particular subject. How could that be?" He said, "Well, I was under oath and I had to tell the truth." But I appreciate people's humility. And we need to surround ourselves with humble people. And we need to stay humble. Because we are serving Jesus Christ, who taught humility like no one else. I think we can see throughout the Apostle Paul's life that he was humbled. And I put these statements that Paul made in Scripture together, and I started with the earlier statements that he made, and there's only three that I have, but kind of moved forward in time as he wrote these things. The earliest of these writings is the first one. He said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, "I am the least of the apostles." I'm the least of them. That's humility. Being an apostle, being a limited number of the apostles, I could see where if you're not careful, that could have gone to your head. You could have become arrogant about that. Who are you to question my apostleship? And he spends much of 2 Corinthians defending his apostleship, but in a humble way. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 9, that longest chapter that deals with the resurrection, and he, you know, is talking about Jesus appearing to him after the resurrection. And that was when he was on the road to Damascus. We can read about it in Acts chapter 9. But he said, "I'm the least of the apostles." I'm the least of them. And then later in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, he wrote, "I am the very least of all the saints." Well, there's a bigger group of people, isn't it? All the saints. He looked at himself as the very least of all. And then finally, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he wrote to Timothy and said, "I am the foremost of sinners." It seems to me that the Apostle Paul grew in his humility throughout his life, and he humbly served our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we should serve with such humility, not seeking earthly applause, not looking to only help people that can help us and have that "what have you done for me lately" type attitude, but just seeking to help others for no glory of our own, no recognition of our own, but to bring glory to God. If we start to have a mentality that we deserve something, that we deserve our salvation, we need an attitude adjustment. I appreciate Brother Antonio in the prayer that he led this morning, thanking God for his plan of salvation that we didn't deserve. But we're so thankful that God has provided for us. I'll tell you what we deserve because of our sins. We deserve hell, eternal separation from God. But we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. And for that, we should all be thankful and stay humble. Do you want to serve the Lord? And you say, "Well, I've never signed up for that." If you're a Christian, yes, you have signed up for that. Romans chapter 6, those who have been buried with Christ in baptism and rise to walk in newness of life are no longer servants of sin, self-servants. But you're servants of righteousness. You're servants of God. Yes, you have signed up for it. Do you want to serve the Lord? In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, Jesus, in that judgment scene that he paints for us so vividly, He separated those on the right, that's the sheep, from those on the left, the goats. And the criteria that he uses is those who have served him. And they say, how have we done that? How have we served you? By serving others, he says, you've served me. When we render service to others while we're here, we are serving our Lord. And that is what the sheep are to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27, we see that those who are rated lowest, the lowest by this world, are the ones whom God can perform great tasks. It says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27, God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. God has showed us time and time again in His Word that He can choose the ordinary to do extraordinary things. The one who was called to deliver Israel out of Egypt, we see, was one that the Lord found on the backside of the desert. Moses. We see the one that was called to deliver Egypt from 7 years of drought came from a dungeon. His name is Joseph. It's a good name, Joey. And a little shepherd boy would be chosen to sit on Israel's throne and had a heart like God's. And men were called, some who smelt like fish, to turn the world upside down. God can do extraordinary things through ordinary people. That should humble us. In Isaiah chapter 53, 700 years before the Lord came to this earth, He is described as the servant. He would go to the cross. That's where the servitude led to for Jesus was the cross, and He was willing to go there. He was crucified among the transgressors. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our sins was upon Him. He took that on, and that's the ultimate service that He has done for us. Take it personal. Jesus died on the cross for you and me. Who are we to think that we are above doing anything in service to help others? Let's humble ourselves in the sight of God. Let's serve Him. May we serve our great King mightily. May we be content in our role as His servant. May we never grow weary in doing what is good. One time I heard about, at the beginning of a gospel meeting, the local preacher was making the announcement and introducing the visiting preacher. And in his introduction for the visiting preacher, he said, "And we have our illustrious guest here to preach." That preacher, from what I understand, got up to preach, and he started out by saying, "Dear friends, I'm just a lowly servant of our illustrious master." I remember years ago when I was a young man worshiping at Westview in Murfreesboro. A young man was scheduled to preach in the absence of Rick Duggan, who was the local preacher there. And unannounced, a well-known gospel preacher showed up by the name of Connie Adams. And I think most all of us have heard of Connie Adams. And this young man that was scheduled to preach was so nervous that he was there. And he said, Steve, I think I should ask him to preach. And I said, why? You know, he'll do great. And he actually went to this preacher and said, would you like to preach? I was scheduled to in Rick's absence. And Connie could tell he was nervous. He said, this young preacher said to him that I'm nervous that you're here and you're, he said, don't be nervous that I'm here listening to it. Be nervous that God is listening to it. We serve God. He is our King. He is the Almighty. We need to be humble in His presence. And I appreciate that attitude. Let's not ever let our service go to our head and we develop I deserve this and I deserve that attitude. Bring glory to God. Remain humble. And as it says in James chapter 4 and verse 6, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. That amazing grace, Mike, that we just sang about. God gives it to the humble. If you're not a child of God, do you want to sign up for being a servant of God? Think about it. There's no greater service that you can render in your life. As Joey often says, 50 years from now, it's not going to matter. But he knows as well as I do, what matters 50 years from now is if we serve the Lord or not. Let's serve the Lord. If you want to be a child of God this morning, we're told that you need to repent of your sins. You need to confess. You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, washing away those sins because of what Jesus did in service for us, dying on the cross. And we need to become servants of righteousness and be faithful until the end. And we'll be rewarded by God. Don't be a self-promoter, but allow God to promote you. Come if you need to while together we stand and sing.